Tabletopped will start after the following messages.
What if music was magic? Against the Gloom is a fantasy TTRPG about punk pirate troubadours fighting back against a bleak world, one gig at a time. From Scripted Games, the studio that brought you Psychic Trash Detectives, comes a new game by Dustin Patrick Winter. Against the Gloom is about harnessing the power of music, finding chosen family, and building community in the face of the void. Find it now on Kickstarter. Rock on.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Tabletop. Do you hate capitalism? Want to move away from gold as a standard of wealth? Today, we are talking about alternate currencies and the basics of what an economy needs to function in the background of your game.
That's right.
Rio, you are going to pitch us an in-development currency system that you are developing, and we are going to workshop this live on the podcast. Are you ready?
Yeah, bud.
Can we introduce the rest of us?
Yeah, we should do that too.
So, I'm Rio. Hi.
What about you over there?
I'm Idris Elba, and this is the gold documentary that he was a part of. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Tell
me a little bit about that.
It's like a propaganda piece from the World Gold
Sunday
or whatever. It's me. It's Franco.
And you?
It's me, Shade. I thought you were going to say we're going crypto, which I was very worried about for a second there.
So this episode is sponsored by Bitcoin. So
this episode is an NFT.
Yeah. Okay. So Rio, why don't you pitch us for a basic outline of what you're trying to do and what you have, and then we can talk about it.
Sure. I didn't realize you read those lines that we would write in these outlines.
Oh, yeah.
So to the point.
That's what they're for.
I assume that you read it and then you would improv on top of it. I should put more thought into those. I'm just here's a general idea.
That's why I used to write him crazy scripts for
the
intro.
I will read them.
he hated your read is what he said.
Yeah. Let me try that again.
Okay. I was just going to say, I thought you would just be.
I thought you were going to put a little English on it.
I was going to hear back. And I was like, because I just wrote a thought down.
Echoed in your brain in a bad way, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, Rio, what are you trying to do with your system? Like, because this is for.
Why are you doing this?
A game that you're doing right now, right?
No.
Oh, okay. What is this?
So, well, yes and no would be the best answer. So as you all know, in this room and dear listener, that I have been running a world for D&D games since 2000 and I want to say like 5.
Mm. Coronor.
Because before you were born, Nick.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let us say he's sub 20.
Baby ass Nick.
Coronor didn't know.
Coronor's older than you.
Yeah, Coronor doesn't know a world where the two towers were, though.
That is only 19 years,
that
y'all.
That is.
It's true.
Coronor was never there for that.
Sorry.
I love that we've... Okay. My brain was not on a good track to start with, and I love that
we're all good. Remember, we can cut this.
All right.
Take a second.
So I built this world for a very long time, and I've always wanted it to be like my special world, and I've always put myself into it. But running it through for D&D games specifically and wanting players to feel like they can contribute and add something to it,
right?
It has sort of turned into... what I've recently recognized as basically a Forgotten Realms reskin.
Mm.
It's not my world. It's my interpretation of the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
But it's still basically like I have all the same races.
Mm. The Remembered Realms.
I've even put up more of like... we have one of our characters...
That joke really fucking got Shade. The Remembered Realms.
Sorry.
One of our players, I'll call him out by name... Sean has made a character, and he named him Conlan Shadowfell.
Sure.
And he wanted him to be from the Shadowfell.
Sure.
Which is a Forgotten Realms place. And I sort of like shoehorned him in there. And he did another character with Loth, I believe is the correct pronunciation. Loth, yeah. It's actually Loth, but we'll say Loth for the audience.
Loth.
Loth. And I was like, also I had a shoehorn like that. And then that is the example that I'm using, but it's been moments of that for the past, you know, two decades.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't the world that I wanted. Mm. And now I'm trying to like ask myself, what is it that I wanted? What was I building?
Right.
What do I want to see and play in? And what really got my imagination sparked is I saw The Boy and the Heron.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is like a really interesting, like it's like you recognize the world,
right?
As but it's also like it's all these little different parts. Mm-hmm. And I've seen Princess Mononoke, which kind of gives me that whole like that same sense of like I've used in my other games. What's a spirit? It's a, like that a god's not really like this person that's just more powerful than you. It's right. it's a being that exists on a different level than you. Mm. And so all of that to say is that I'm trying to rebuild a world that I want to see and play in, and I've been really delving into sort of the solar punk motif.
Yeah.
And I was like, so my world is going to be sort of a post-collapse.
Okay.
But with salvaged technology. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be solar power, wind power, and hydropower.
Okay.
These are systems that are salvaged technology from before the Cryosis, which was a magically induced ice age.
Sure.
And so there's not really going to be like a money note or a gold coin because like there's no really reason to mint these.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to have kingdoms and countries. It's more of like villages and tribes of people.
Mm-hmm. Autonomous so collectives.
Like, yeah.
Collectives. So like, well, what can I have that they could exchange? So basically, since like their lives are run on these energy systems, mm-hmm. being able to trade excess energy makes the most sense to me to be the source of currency. Mm-hmm. And if I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but there was a book series called The Craft Sequence, in which currency is actual like literal soul, mm-hmm. and you can like get more soul than you normally have or less soul.
Right.
So the basic premise is people can create this energy and they need so much of it to live. Like if you're going to – basically the plot I've put in my head to build this is a small farm. It needs solar panels to keep the chicken coops warm, heat up the water, run the plumbing. So there's energy required by this house, and I've considered that to be 20 quid. Quid is what I'm using as the measurement of primal energy collected by these technologies.
Real quick, I want to ask you though, one thing when you're thinking about a currency and all that is that you also can think about, because right now the way that you're measuring it is like a numerical one, which is very sort of like based off of our like capitalist sort of like background structure.
Right.
But you could also think of like a barter structure in that like maybe the thing that they really value most is the things that would repair these structures. So like if someone finds like enough pieces of like solar panels or whatever, that you could trade that in for other items and make a bartering system. You know what I mean?
But there's other sources too, like the hydro and the and wind, where you can repair the structures, but the value put in is probably like the labor, and then the parts could be maybe anything, But solar panels, yes, that's high level technology,
right?
And that's what we're gonna get into, like how does the system actually work and function? Because if these systems that people can have produce the energy that they need and the excess is what they use to trade with, mm-hmm. How does that currency work?
I think there's also two levels to this conversation, which is how does it work in world for the like narrative and like the structure of like how does the world function, which you can like have people like trading like huge batteries of energy or whatever it is, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But then there's also the practical thing of like how are players going to interact with an economy? And so you can have that be like, are they even really going to have access to this money, which is energy? Because like they're not generating energy as they do their or are
and
they?
Still and they're doing kind of labor, they're doing work, and they're being rewarded with energy, like you would be rewarded with gold or sure. coins.
You know, what's interesting, actually, and I didn't think about this because we talked about this yesterday, me and Rio. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about this before, but the way that the batteries would be charged for mm-hmm. like maintaining the energy, these would all be passive rather than like, you know, you're mining for gold or for silver or whatever, or searching for cowrie shells or something mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
Or carving giant rocks that if you find them at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, it still counts because yeah. everybody remembers it. It's interesting because it's not – I guess the labor required in it would be the creation of those technologies mm-hmm. and then the repair and upkeep of them.
Yeah, and I also think that like when it comes to your thing of like passive mm-hmm. basically
passive income.
Yeah.
It's a vending machine.
The thing about that too is like you're saying like a farm would have access to this, but if it is case that like a – and maybe not in this world, like maybe farming is one of the like more elite jobs, but like if you have a job that is something that is like very like in this case like blue collar, if you were to think about that, something that is like a labor skill. Mm-hmm. And this like you'd have to decide, does this world value labor skills or do they value like intellectual skills or whatever? Because like right now in our current world, we have like an intellectual economy, and I'm using air quotes there because all labor is labor and it's all bullshit and made up. So but we like value like management more than actual labor and doing stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah. so those people are like more compensated than the other. But in this case, if energy is the most important thing in this world, would a farmer have access to it? And so, like, do they have access to
the technology?
Yeah. Do they have access to the technology? Maybe they have access to, like, plug in an energy cell, but maybe they don't have the panels. You know what I mean?
They don't have the panels. They're not near a creek.
Yeah.
To, like, get all the infrastructure to, because maybe it's like, yeah, you can like get some power off of a creek or something like that, or maybe off the groundwater, or you have like a little windmill, but then you have to like think about like all of the wires that get to wherever your stations are or something like that.
Yeah,
and maybe that's like why people adventure. Like, yeah, oh, we want to be able to find this technology so that we can have totally. Our passive income.
And something also to kind of offer you to kind of consider is like if like who has access to it, and then how does power come from that? Because like in Mad Max Fury Road, like a Morton
Joe.
You
mean like social power?
Yeah, like okay. basically governmental power. Because yeah. like if it like Morton Joe has access to water, and mm-hmm. that makes him the most powerful person because everyone needs to come to him for water. Yeah. So if you have a government or like a warlord or a village chief or whoever it is, they're probably the ones who can make the energy. So then you have to decide how are they doling out that energy to people to keep them under their control. You know what I mean? Depending on what
they,
society you want to be.
And then how
I really
are they
am trying to stay
others?
Away from like I want to create a world that is very communal and socialist.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So in my server tests mm-hmm. room that I'm building this new system in. And to your point, yeah, I did introduce it in our last like session going to our next adventure mm-hmm. Because I didn't like what we were using.
Yeah.
But I've not fully developed the new system out yet either. So it's going to be a work in progress as we go. But in Hemlock, the village that is our sort of hub mm-hmm. for the adventure, there's been that large pond, McGulliver's yeah. Pond, which is like their water source and reservoir. I'm putting a river that feeds into that. That river's going to have a dam, mm-hmm. and that's going to produce the hydro quid energy
yeah.
that the town would then collect. So what I'm hearing from this conversation is like maybe give less to the people, so the people are dependent on that dam to give them energy, and they get what they need if they produce the crops and the
totally.
Food,
and they can change
into the sort of yeah. tax. Bracket.
And that can also be very socialist too, but
I was gonna say that's not very socialist though in yeah. some respects. I mean, it is you know, like the idea is that everyone's paying in collectively and communally, but it's making them specifically dependent upon like who owns that dam is the next question.
Yeah, if there's no ownership too, it could be that like these settlements have cropped up around this archaeotech that they are like interested in preserving, mm-hmm. and everyone has decided like in a more socialist way of like everyone gets a little right. bit out of this, but maybe they don't understand how it works. So like selling knowledge or something could be bartered for items, or like bringing in skilled labor to fix something, or having the tools to fix it. Those tools could be very expensive. But I think that when it comes to like a non-capitalist structure, you kind of have to move away a little bit from units of money as well, unless you want to have some sort of capitalist.
To each according to their needs, from each according to their ability.
Because it could be that like as an adventuring party, maybe it's just based on what the party needs. Like if they need a new sword, maybe they go into a town and they're like, what do you need for so that we can get a sword out of you? And then they're like, okay, well, actually our dam is broken. We need someone to go and repair the wires. And like that is the trade that you're making. Mm. So maybe there is no money. Maybe it's more something else.
Yeah. This is something so this is kind of tangentially related. But my players in my current game, which is, you know, smash and grab D&D.
Yeah.
But it's
robbery.
Yeah. But they are so wealthy right now. They're incredibly wealthy. And I just sent them down into a dungeon and they retrieved this giant gold statue. And they were like, yeah, we're going to take the giant gold statue. And I was like, I didn't think treasure could continue to incentivize you guys. And they were like, yeah, when the treasure is a cool giant statue.
Yeah.
So... when you adventure, you don't have to adventure for, you know, like, quid. I think it's, like, fun to, like, currency, right? Like, the most exciting treasure is, like, the treasure that is, like, you know,
you
like...
You find along the way.
The treasure you find along the way. Well, yeah, like, a panel, a solar panel.
I
want
to create a currency that is not as fundamental as money is to, like, our daily lives.
Well, yeah. Do you think it's more like an inter-community type of currency, maybe? Like, maybe that could be a way to think about it? Like if you have like
how they trade with each other.
Yeah, how each community trades with each other. Maybe that would be the way to think about it.
Because you could have like each town having a major export. Like this one is in a forest and all of the solar panels are on top of trees or whatever. But they log so that they can then take the wood and the lumber, they process it, and then they ship it out to other places because maybe they don't have as fertile soil. So they get crops in return for the logging.
Yeah, but it's still trade.
It is trade.
It's like trade, you know... resource to resource, but then if you're like, well, we produce solar power really good because we have all of the solar power or whatever. And you have to think too, like I know you don't want to introduce like capitalist structures and stuff like that, but in you know, in the world, you could still have bad actors that would be extracting.
Yeah,
a lot
they
of
would
things.
Always yeah. exist. Yeah.
Yeah, they would always exist. And so somebody who has like a big solar farm. You know, they're heavily militarized and fascist or something like that.
Yeah, or maybe there is a place that has found archaeotech that makes a certain type of weapon that puts them above others. And what they do, though, is they just are very Viking-esque and they raid other villages for their resources. Mm-hmm. And like maybe then they set up like a tithing structure, and then that's where you start to have like bigger like kingdoms, again, air quotes, but
right.
Yeah. Stuff like that. It's very hard to get at. Like I always have this problem where it's like, how do you free yourself from the only structures we've ever known?
it's very tough.
Because I'm also kind of thinking as we had this discussion is like maybe each village has a trade agreement. And they exchange in credits and not the quid energy.
Yeah.
They because have like the energy can be traded for, because like I think the town I have next to Hemlock is Hexus, which is a magic academy or study. So like, we have this much energy. We'll keep your lights on in your school. You send us a mage to come help us with our, like, to be like a public servant.
I mean, one thing that just came up to me with this that like could be interesting, it's just an offer, I don't know if you'd be interested, but maybe there is a sort of like old world, like AI style, like mega structure that everyone brings things to that then catalogs it and that people use credits to get things in and out of it. And so like you said, if you produce people who are administrators, you can go and say, like, this is a contract to a for an administrator. And then that is then gone through this, like, essentially machine, but nobody really understands how it works. Maybe it's even, like, kind
of considered. You just invent, like, a stock market.
Yeah, exactly. So it becomes sort of like this, like, almost, like, religious figure in that it's like sort of a god that, like, judges your contribution and that you are then able to, like, trade that way and that there's, like, a central hub that everyone comes to for things.
Because it's, like, a program.
Yeah.
That they don't really understand. Be manipulated, you know, by bad
actors. Because the technology is, yeah, is nobody understands the technology anymore.
Yeah.
There's so, enough knowledge to, like, turn it back on, but not enough to.
Oh my God.
That's so cool, actually. Yeah. I like that as a regional thing rather than like a global thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right, like, as I'm rebuilding the world, I'm really not trying to rebuild the whole world. I'm rebuilding this area in the world. So it's fine if, like, what we build doesn't.
Like go
expand
everywhere.
Expand to the next continent or the next, like, land.
And going back to your comment about, like, if the treasure is cool, it's worth something to the players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if with the concept of, that you've come up with, archaeotech or, like, technology from the old world is such a cool, like, MacGuffin that you can give to your players of, like, there's, like, a thing, and it's maybe it's like a freaking cotton candy machine, but your
what?
Players
That's
are
a
like,
cool idea.
Yeah, and the players are like, what is this? Like, I put in rations and it makes it into string. Like, I don't know what this is. You know, so, like, you can have, like, a lot of, like,
a
weird
anachronisms in, like, a fun way. Yeah, that's really fun. That's
and then
a good
you bring
idea.
It back to, and maybe there's, like, this is obviously very Warhammer of me, but maybe there is, like, sort of a Mechanicus-esque faction that's just, like, loves technology and is just like, I don't understand what this is, but this is fucking cool. And so, like, you could bring technology to them and they will trade it for, like,
oh yeah, that would be
things.
Like a great way to fit the consortium in.
Yeah exactly.
This new group, the consortium being our magical archivist in my world.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be what they like do. That. But I also really like what you just said about, like, people going after for adventures, because that would make a great Doom Salvage backdrop.
Yeah, yeah, which is another module. You're
which
making.
Is another module that I'm running in another, like, group, like another guild name. So all they do is they just go look for, like, magic items, but yeah, they fit right into a. We're going to look for this tech and we're going to build it and people are going to give us goods and quid and energy and all of that.
And I also think it gives you a really cool opportunity to change magic items to just be
because like magic, old tech. Yeah,
because like magic is just science that people don't understand. So like,
I was having a conversation with Franco this morning on my walk into here. So Franco wasn't there, but the Franco that lives in my head. We were having this conversation.
That is a wild thing to drop. I love it so much.
Okay, all right. You guys don't talk to your friends in your head?
Is there a Nick in your head?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so honored.
You don't
honored.
Talk to
I'm
people
really
in your head? Like, if you're trying to think of thought, you go...
Only if I'm mad at them.
Oh, I have conversations with everyone all the time.
That's amazing. I wish
aside
I could
from myself, yeah, I have
how
conversations with myself.
How do you
where,
deconstruct
but the other
the
guy is really
if
mean.
It's only you talking?
I really like this because you're drawing from other perspectives in that case. That's really cool.
It's very fun.
I just
like it.
For me, like, I break down the thought and then analyze each piece myself and, like, I try to analyze it from different perspectives and but I'm always putting myself into other viewpoints. That's really cool.
Huh.
All right, so what did I say?
So yeah, anyway, me and Frank were talking about, and basically, like, the idea that I got to is magic, fantasy, and technology science fiction.
Uh-huh.
Are basically couches. Like the structure of a couch doesn't really change from house to house.
Uh-huh.
But when you're buying a couch, you look for the one that is most comfortable to you.
Yeah.
So advanced tech and magic are basically they fulfill the same function
right.
in the game. It's just like, which one would you prefer? Cast spells, cast a fireball with like hand gestures,
mm-hmm.
or cast fireball with a super tech rocket launcher. Like it's the same basic premise. This is how do you feel most comfortable interacting?
All of the couches are used.
I like that idea too of like maybe and it could change how spellcasting works in your game. Like if someone's like more like instead of evocation wizard or whatever, maybe they're like a fire wizard, but that's because they have a machine that creates fire and they're using it in different ways to make a fireball or a burning hand style thing whatever.
Okay.
Little modifiers.
They like,
to
yeah,
the
they add more
that
mods.
Yeah. Or like maybe they're like a gravity wizard is like this piece of archaeotech they have like throws gravity around or whatever. Right after this break, we'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit more in specific. Where do you want to take the conversation after this, Rio? Okay. Come back and we'll decide then.
Hi. Hi guys, I'm Matt, and I am half of Roleplay Chat. Roleplay Chat is a podcast and passion project from two game masters who can't stop talking about role-playing games. We talk about games like Dungeons & Dragons, Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, the Fate Core system, Call of Cthulhu, and many more. In Roleplay Chat, Chris and I take deep dives into tabletop RPG subjects. We touch on topics ranging from something as simple as traps, all the way to abstract concepts like pacing or engagement at your table. Chris and I take you through unscripted chats, showcasing our roleplay strategies, providing you with concrete tools in the aim of improving as a player or as a game master. Our bi-weekly show can be found wherever you podcast. Just look for Roleplay Chat. That's R-O-L-E, Play Chat.
Hey everyone, it's me, Nick, from the Tabletop Podcast. When I'm not hosting, I'm thinking about ways to create a better podcast for you guys, and I think I landed on something pretty fun. In fact, if you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/tabletopped and join for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a new episode a month that we're going to start putting out. In fact, we're going to be calling this one Wild Magic, I think, in that we're going to talk about anything and everything that interests us, not just TTRPGs, though there will be a lot of that. It is truly unhinged, and if you are a fan of the podcast and all of the hosts, you're definitely going to want to be on it. We're thinking of dropping these at the end of each month, so join our Patreon today. That is patreon.com/tabletopped. Oh, and there's going to be so much more coming out in the new year there, so don't miss it. Sign up today. Welcome back, everyone, to our currency episode of Tabletop.
Where we're Thanks talking... to Idris Elba for that commercial in the middle of the break.
Gold, gold, gold. Oh. Everyone get your gold. So, Rio, before the break, we were talking a lot about, like, what actually is an economy? Like, how do you define, if you're not using capitalism as your base structure, like, how do you define what people go out for? Why do they do the things that they do? And we kind of settled upon, like, what resources people need and different options for like how people could barter with those resources or like different things you could do as a world building exercise to make it into stuff. But originally you were talking about quid as like a currency that people could use.
It's
like
a currency that's also an energy type.
Sure.
It replaces like the concept of electricity.
Yeah.
So it's like replacing like crude oil or whatever.
Right. It's all clean energy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's what we're going to trade. We need energy to run things. We don't need money.
But how do you make those batteries to keep a hold of them?
Oh, you find them.
Probably rare earth metals, you know?
Yeah, but
causing a lot of toxins in the environment.
You could do that. But also a thing that just came up is like, maybe what you do is you make the things that they use, like maybe you kind of treat it as spell slots where it's like it is something that they use to run their gear. So they're using it, but they also can give away the extras for other things. You know what I mean?
Right. And because here's another concept that kind of like flips a lot of what we talked about into various angles. Because again, with the craft sequence, that is like one half of where I'm building this ecosystem is – you have soul. And the coin, people will pass a coin back and forth in a transaction, but that's just a vehicle for your soul energy to go to the next person. So in this idea that I've had, it's that bone is very good at holding this quid energy. So you can charge up your like you basically have to have an animal bone or bone chips that you can charge and then pass along.
So your skeleton's your wallet?
Not your skeleton.
Oh, okay. That's amazing.
But you would need like...
You're just dragging a skeleton around with you?
That's what I mean. You'd have to imagine like some sort of like wallet or bag made out of bone or leather that would store the energy that would then be like... would touch like a generator or a hot plate, a collector. A hot plate that would pass it on to the shop or to the person that you're paying.
One thing that I would say like is an easy way if you want to keep it in a numerical value is that you could just say like, In this world, this thing is called bones, or this thing is called bucks. It is a unit of measurement for energy, and you would just like use an existing system. Like bucks could be like a dollar system, so a buck, you know. And then people would then be like, "Oh, I kind of understand like the value of this thing." Because the thing about
quid is also
I was gonna say quid
yeah,
is also.
But
a dollar.
What I'm saying is like, for me, whenever I'm coming up with a new currency, the trouble I always come up with is like, how do I demonstrate what the value of this is? So like, we all know that, like, you know, $15 is a meal. Let's say that, like, you can buy a meal for $15. And so
to that point, I want to say that a quid will power up a small home for 1 hour.
So I, you know, when you first kind of pitched this, I did ask a question, and I think this question does stand, although at the time you said that's not really what it was about.
I never hold true to anything I've ever said.
Right. So, you were kind of driving at this, Nick. At the end of the day, how is this going to be implemented in the game? So, like, I think that world building is really important. It's important to build up all this rich stuff. But, like, currencies within a game, they have a use, mm-hmm. right? Like it's how your players or player characters, you know, purchase the gear that they need or the, I don't know, modes of conveyance that they need, you know, the rations that they need. So how will you utilize this within your game is something that I would be interested to hear about.
And that is where we're like, I feel like it's not built up enough.
Well, here's the thing that I want to say to you based on what you said earlier of 1 quid being able to power a home for 1 hour. Like, that makes sense to me. I understand that as like a like an equation, but I don't know how many quid I need to buy a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that you have to become a little bit more like, yes, this is like big scale what this unit is, but I think what becomes more valuable is going back to my bucks comment of like a dollar.
But I
also $15 will buy a sandwich.
I feel like in this system, you wouldn't be buying a sandwich. You would be buying a stay at an inn or.
So how do you buy a sandwich?
In this system, mm-hmm. in the way that I want it to go, you go to a place that serves food. They give you the food.
Okay. So there
is. And then the place, because it's serving food, gets its cut of quid from the, like,
so maybe
city bank.
So,
but this also applies to travelers as well? Like people who aren't
contributing
to the system?
Well, so travelers would then have to have, like, their own. And see, this is where we're getting to, like, the fuzzy area where I haven't really.
Maybe there's, like, an entry fee whenever you go to a new community, but it depends community to community, or some communities are more generous.
Or you get assigned tasks when you go to a new place.
Maybe
real
quick.
Like
that.
Shade really wants to say something.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so really what you're driving at is there is a universal basic allowance.
Correct.
Not an income. I'll say allowance of, like, there are rights. You have a right to water. You have a right to shelter. You have a right to. But
food.
Then
sandwiches.
Food.
Yeah.
Sandwiches. But then there are things that are luxury.
Correct.
And luxury is what you're spending quid on specifically.
Yes.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that kind of changes a little bit because, like, I do think that there's like different systems you could create. Like, I think that Franco's idea of the entrance tax, like a gate tax, is something that has been part of even our world. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like a lot of fantasy worlds, it's like you have to pay to enter the town, and maybe that you pay a certain amount of quid that then is put into this bank that then is given out to things. And then maybe to stay every certain amount of days or something in a town, you have to pay more quid just so that the town can upkeep all of the services that it gives out for free.
In a backup system, I've kind of been working on like the mayor's office or the city center of a village or place. Mm-hmm. Because again, I'm going very low population, so villages wouldn't have more than a few hundred.
Is there a mayor?
Because someone to run the distribution of the energy that's collected. You need someone kind of in charge, elected position.
The collective can do that democratically.
Everyone's going to go up and hit the buttons and make sure like the stuff's working.
Yeah, you assign people, but
the person you assign would be like you could assign we don't have to call it a mayor.
I'm just trying to get away from the kind of
because
if you're thinking about like, oh, I want a communist society, like the idea, the concept of the mayor maybe isn't something you want to like think beyond it, you know, like think about like democratically how you can make decisions. Think about Argot. Everybody things are decided by lots, right? Like you know, like randomly assign this person to do this task or whatever, and they understand that it's their duty as a citizen.
So to follow up on that point and to get to where I was going is like
there
are I don't call them guilds, but you can elect to be in certain
offices.
Orgs. Industries. Mm-hmm. So there's like the labor guild. And they're like, oh, we need people to clean the streets. We need people to like build. Do you have these skills? You show up here, boom, you're a citizen in good standing. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the physicians, and then there's the administrators, and there's like all of the things that need to happen. You elect to be in one, or you are if there's needs to be a spot by lot. It's like, okay, who can?
Yeah.
Someone has to be in the labor. Like, everyone can't just say no.
So there was this series that I read when I was a kid. Came out in the 1950s.
I came out in the 1950s. It was a tough time.
Goddamn.
He's either 15 or he's 105.
Nowhere in between.
Nowhere in between.
So it was called The Stainless Steel Rat by... I'm double checking. Harry Harrison, and it was very much a pulpy sci-fi series that was the writing spanned decades. There was one that I remember when I was a kid really resonated with me, and I was trying for a lot of this episode to find this book. It was called The Stainless Steel Rat Gets Drafted. And one of the first things that resonated was like, oh, it was published in 1987. So was I. And I was, you know, but it ended up being an interesting read, I thought, at the time. I can't say whether it holds up anymore. But I dug into it because it takes place with this world is about to be invaded. This world is about to be invaded by a... dictatorship, a very fascist society, and this thief has been conscripted by this fascist society. He is not, you know, he doesn't like them. He's a thief. He's antithetical to laws, and he is the titular hero. Oh my God, and he is sent there for as a scout, and he gets there and he's like, oh, I'm going to warn them, and I'm going to ruin this invasion. And he learns a lot about the world, and they have this philosophy that is around the world called individual mutualism. And I finally found really the description of it, and I think it's kind of what you're going after. So individual mutualism, I lost the exact part of the page. The basic tenet of individual mutualism is every individual is a separate and discrete entity responsible for their own existence. When threatened with the violence of the occupation and subjugation. Thank you.
I don't get to help people too often. I'm really excited.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
That was really nice for you.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good. Of their planet, followed a nonviolent approach derived from the... thesis quote from the book, at all times, passive resistance will be your only weapon, never violence. But until the perfect stainless state is established, there will be those of violence who will force their violence upon you. Individual mutualism cannot be established by the dead. Whatever. There's this whole thing.
The revolution must defend itself.
Yeah. So, and the currency of this planet is WIRR, W-I-R-R, a work unit, quote unquote work unit, earned through labor. These words are exchanged with others for goods and services. It's neither capitalism, communism, socialism, vegetarianism, or even the dreaded monetarism that destroyed many a technological society. So it's very much kind of the idea that you're going for, where there isn't a real currency, but there is a currency that they're carrying around in their pockets, and it's based off of an amount of labor that they're putting in. Is that am I hitting this right? Is that
I think we're getting really close.
Okay.
Right. It's like so long as you're being a part of the community and you're putting in your part, the community resources will make sure that you are fed, sheltered, clothed, and taken care of.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to worry about how much is an inn steak? Do we have enough for a meal? It's like the town will feed you. If you want a 5-course meal from a chef, you need to have extra quid. You need to do something more than the basics. You need to be an adventurer or bring something back to be like higher up without being in a caste system, which is like a very difficult thread, I think, to walk.
Yeah. I think that because the thing that I am interested in is like, the rejection of the caste system is that it means that the chef that's cooking you that 5-course meal is actually really no different from the person who's administrating the you know, power lines for all of the power to all of the different places within the town. They both have the same value, essentially.
Right.
So I think that, I don't know. I feel like the big thing is like how do you value different types of thing? Like what is like a stump of wood? You know, like how many quid does that become? Because that is valuable to people. You can build stuff out of that, or like maybe a whittler wants that, and then like that statue that he makes out of it has a value as well. But there is no structure like hierarchical in the town. So how do you measure all these things? That's hard.
Which is why I think in the system I'm building, the currency is very – it needs to be background.
Yeah.
And where the player's like, well, we need these things. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've adventured. You have access. Like the town's willing to give you this because you've done these things. Mm-hmm. The adventurers get like a free pass to sort of act out of the social structures that citizens
– right.
Play in.
I think it could be very interesting too to, because like a lot of adventures are coming up in my mind. Like, what if you have a group of adventurers who came into a town, paid their entry fee, said, hey, we need like all of this gear. And then the town was like, okay, great. In exchange, can you clear out like this infestation of some sort of like carnivorous animal that's like threatening the mm-hmm. surrounding area? But then they just leave. Then what does that town do? Maybe they group up another group of people and say like, hey, we're going to give you a certain amount of items or quid or whatever to go and get our stuff back from those adventurers. And then that becomes a bounty system, right? So that people can protect the insular
the
nature of the,
of, like,
of the economy.
Yeah.
And so then you have
or they become even more insular if something like that happens.
Yeah, right. So then it becomes like you can have adventures based on that, like based on different towns' reactions to different things. So maybe one way you want to do this is leave it a little bit open so that you can have different towns or
different things.
Yeah. So that you can have a really vast variety of adventures, right?
Another thing that me and Frank were talking about off mic was you could also have an adventure where was like a very good villain concept to be someone who's found a way to siphon the community.
Someone who uses
energy.
Like an EMP to like disable everyone's quid wallets or whatever.
Energy source. And now someone's just like causing chaos. And like, how do you get that back?
Yeah.
You have to wait for it to regenerate with whatever system you're using.
Yeah. So and it could also be like, what if someone who's responsible for the power lines just attaches like a thing that just like drains a little bit of the energy off into like a battery, and then like there's a mystery. You have to figure out why the town's energy
is slowly falling.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's like a lot of ways you can do it, and I think that in a way maybe you should like leave it a little open, and then as you structure a session, you can develop how that specific town is working on something so that you can be a little bit more variable in your...
I definitely feel it works better as a soft system than a hard system.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
So we're kind of coming to the end of the conversation here, so... why don't we lay out sort of what we've come up with and what you think is useful and not when building sort of like a currency system within your world?
Yeah, I'll talk about how I view the system now. Mm-hmm. Is so each like towns are going to be springing up near this old tech, because if the tech can produce energy, you want to build a town near that. Like you would build a town currently like near water or near a food source.
Right.
You want to build it near one of these energy sources. Towns that don't have one will obviously trade for power with cattle, timber, stuff that the actual labor. And those towns would work differently than the towns connected to a quid system. Mm-hmm. But the quid energy batteries will still be traded because that is an energy source.
Yeah.
It's going to be a soft system. For most things, players don't have to worry about spending money. Like, oh, you need a toolkit or you need an herbalist. You have it. You've worked something out with the town. You want a magic sword. That's going to be something you specifically have to create an agreement with the person who's going to give it to you, what you're going to give them for that, because they're going to have to spend energy to fuel whatever it is they're going to use to make that. So basically, it's going to be taking away currency and instituting a barter system backed by a sort of lifeblood of natural energy.
Yeah.
That sort of like makes sure that everyone, the natural energy will keep everyone on a universal basic allowance so that no one's suffering. And the system might falter once like populations climb back up.
Yeah.
It might be harder to keep everyone.
Or if you get a group of teenagers who are just have a little too much spare time on their hands, start coming a little chaos.
Teenagers are known for that.
Yeah.
I think we've really hammered in some good points, and I have a more focused view on how it will work, and that focused view is let it work in a sort of blurry half space.
Right. Cool.
And not become a replacement for the gold coin or the gold point.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Nothing can replace gold because gold is forever.
Thanks, Idris. thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Tabletopped. If you have a question like Rio about something you're developing or want us to kind of mull over on mic, feel free to send it to us via tabletoppod.com. Just go over to that contact form, throw in either what you're building or your module or whatever, and we will take a look at it and we will talk about it on mic. Feel free to throw whatever guidance you want in there as well if you want focused notes. All right, everyone, we'll see you next week on another episode of Tabletopped. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.